Okay. So you're more than welcome to stick around and socialize afterwards, but just to honor the time frame, Jackie has not eaten yet, so we're going to make this short and sweet. From the two questions and your discussion, was there anything that came up that you wanted a little bit more clarification on, that you're a little confused about, or just something that you want to ask Jackie? So she's taking, dating advice. There you go. She's ready for you. So we're going to take about three questions. So if you have anything, raise your hand now. So anything came up you want to know a little bit more about, be brave. She's real nice. She's real sweet. Anybody? Oh, right here. Yes, Daniel.
Okay, yeah, he says, so sometimes Puritans say, like, to pretend like you don't have sexual desires, right? Well, it's amazing because I like this analogy. Puritans are like the Stoics, right? Stoics are like, don't think, like, I don't have feelings, right? I don't have desires. Just pretend you don't have them. Like, especially when it comes to sexual desires. However, the addict is kind of like the world. The addict says, oh, the desires are there, but I'm just addicted. I need more and more and more, and I'm never satisfied, right? Now, at least the addict, though, is in touch with their desire. At least they acknowledge they have a desire, right? The other side of the coin, though, of the addict is the mystic. And we're all called to be mystics, not like mystic with a big M, like St. John of the Cross or St. Joseph Cupertino, or like levitating. You know, that'd be awesome, though. I want to fly. Actually, by location. That's what I really want. But a mystic in the sense that every single one of us is called to be mystical in the sense that we are called to union with God. And so the response to the Puritanistic idea that the body is bad, sex is bad, you know, I don't know if you know this, but like in Congress, there were some very Puritanistic Protestant groups that wanted this naked statue covered up. Do you know that Pope John Paul, when he was Pope, in the Sistine Chapel, they had put fig leaves over the paintings in the Sistine Chapel. Pope John Paul had all of the fig leaves removed. You know why? And the fact that Jesus was actually crucified naked. And Adrian von Speyer said, when the church started to cover up Jesus with a loincloth, was the first time, it was the beginning of the refusal to see the body. So we should not have a fear of the body. We should not have a fear of sex. But we should see sex and our desires in a good way. God gave us these desires for a reason. Right? Our desires are good. However, our desires are like fire. Right? Fire in your living room fireplace is a good thing. Right? It warms up your house. It looks nice. Fire on your living room floor is destructive. You guys, that's the same with our desires. Especially our sexual desire. Outside of the context of marriage, sex can be destructive. Within its context, our desires are very good. Our desires point us to heaven. Now, the response to that is our desires need to be purified. We need to pray. Like, if we seriously want to be holy, our desires, our sexual desires, all of our desires need to be purified. And that only comes through prayer. A lot of it can come through fasting. A lot of the saints recommend, if you struggle with sexual sin, to fast. And good thing Lent is coming up. I mean, it's a great opportunity to because if you can train your body to fast from food, then you can train your body to have self-control when it comes to sexual desires as well. So yeah, so the Puritan says body bad, sex is bad. But we as Catholics say, no, the body is good, the sex is good. But within a context, and God created it for a purpose. So. One more? Yes, sir.
Yes. I've heard from a friend who's a devout Catholic that contraception is seen as a sin. How do you feel about that?
Right. The church teaches that contraception is a sin. Why? Because, and basically, if you want to know why same-sex marriage is not allowed in the church, basically you hold it up to, is it free, total, faithful, and fruitful? Okay, anything. If you want to know why premarital sex is seen as a sin, is because you hold it up. Is it free, total, faithful, fruitful? So contraception. Is contraception truly free? No. You're holding something back. You're basically saying, is it total? No, you're saying, I love you, but I don't want more of you running around. Like, I look at, you know, I didn't necessarily want kids. I mean, I did, but like, I couldn't really imagine having kids until I met the guy I was called to marry. Because when I actually met the man and I was in love with him, I was like, and love always goes outward. I was like, I want more of you running around. I want our love to bear fruit, and I want kids with you. Like, I didn't just want kids in the abstract. So contraception, why is contraception? Because it's basically it's doing what Adam and Eve did. It's taking it into our own hands. That God has given us this gift that having children is not a curse. And in fact, the church, a beautiful thing, Humanae Vitae is a great document that deals especially with contraception. And Pope Paul VI, he predicted that four things would happen if we said yes to contraception. I mean, he said that morality would decrease. And sure enough, since the pill was okayed and, you know, a bunch of churches okayed contraception, the divorce rate has increased. Adultery has increased. Abortion increased. I mean, you see the total fruits of contraception. Because basically, contraception is taking our fertility into our own hands. We become God when we do that. So the church, if you want to read more about it, either read Humanae Vitae or go to the catechism. You guys, I struggled. That was like when I was 18, this was the one teaching I really struggled with. Because my parents were on the pill. I think I was born, actually, when my mom was on the pill. I was like, I want to be here, you know. Get me through. So I'm telling you. Now, the church has approved methods of... Now, the church isn't against birth regulation. Now, when it comes... The birth isn't against birth regulation. It's against contraception. So it's against having sex and saying and disinviting God from the bedroom. That's what contraception... It's having sex for the pleasure of it and disinviting and being not open to life. However, birth regulation, the church is okay with because the church is calling us to be responsible parents. So the church has approved natural family planning, which is not the rhythm method. In fact, the Creighton model of natural family planning, if you are trying to avoid, is 99% effective. And if you are trying to achieve, women who think they were infertile, if they used natural family planning, actually a huge percentage of women who thought they were infertile, just by charting, actually can get pregnant. So anyways, the church has approved... And it's so much different. And it's amazing how couples who use contraception, the divorce rate is the same. It's like 50% and above. Couples who use natural family planning, the divorce rate is less than 2%. Why? Because it forces you and your spouse to communicate every month. It does. I mean, are we ready for a child this month? Or when I am ovulating, am I going to have to run from you? You know, like... basically, yeah, it's true. When we are ovulating, are we going to have to find out other ways to love each other? Sex is not, you know, people equate love with sex. There's so many other ways of love. You show it emotionally, all this stuff. So NFP actually teaches couples your love is not equated just to sex. Like, you learn how to actually love your spouse in all these different ways. But anyway, so the church teaches that contraception is a grave sin in all cases. But it teaches that birth regulation is something we are called to be responsible parents, and you're called to pray. Like, are we called to have a child right now? Do we have the means? Whatever. So I would say, if you want to know more about contraception, read Humanae Vitae, an amazing, amazing encyclical, or go to the Catechism. And I'm telling you, when I started, that was my one hang up on the Catholic Church, was the contraception thing. And when I started learning about the church's teachings, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. So beautiful. And I would say Christopher West's Good News About Sex and Marriage is also a great resource. Really small. It's basically a question and answer format that engaged couples asked. And like, what does the church teach about like this and this and this? Like every question you could imagine, right? It's like no holds bar. So if you want to learn more, Jason Ever is another one. He has a couple great CDs, books. Yeah, so Jason Ever, another good guy. Thechastityproject.com is a website that Jason put up. Bobby and I, they just posted articles of ours. So, I mean, any resources that you need, I'm telling you, they are out there. But the church, when you listen to the church and God's will, it is so much better, again, than when we take it into our own hands. So I think that's all we had time for. But thank you, guys. Good questions. Very good questions.